Good evening. You know, growing up, my dad had all kinds of little sayings. Some of them I didn't understand when I was growing up. It turns out that I'm turning into my dad because now I have all kinds of little sayings that I use with my two boys. And sometimes they don't understand what I'm talking about. For example, I'll tell them sometimes, well, you drew the short straw, so you've got to do it. And they're like, Dad, I don't even know what that means. Well, let me give you an example of what drawing the short straw is. When the elders ask several of the men in the congregation to preach on Sunday nights, we all pick dates. And evidently I drew the short straw because I have to follow Clarence DeLoach. Now, Ben Smith is a fine preacher. He's a good preacher, but he's no legend. He's not been doing it as long as Clarence has. And so I apologize. It's a step down this evening, but I'll do the best I can do. All I can promise you is I will be to the point, which is a nice way of saying I may be short. The devil's scariest trick. The devil's after us. The Bible tells us so. And he's trying to get us to trip up. He's trying to get us more than anybody else because we're Christians. And that's who he needs to trip up. Because if you're not a Christian, the devil's already got you. And so the devil's been doing this a long time, and he's got a lot of tricks in his bag. But tonight I want to talk about what I think is probably his scariest trick. And it's the trick of convincing us when we sinned that we hadn't sinned. So therefore we're not feeling guilty and we're not feeling like we need to ask for forgiveness or repentance. So it's a scary trick if the devil can make us not realize we've sinned. You may say, well, what are you talking about? Well, the verse that was just read to me is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. James 4:17. It says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, you may be saying, Mark, I know when I choose not to do good. Well, maybe and maybe not. And that's what I want to kind of look at tonight, because the devil's scariest trick is that he uses self-deception and self-justification to make it to where we don't even realize that we're sinning. Now you may say, I'm not sure that I really totally get it. I'm not sure that I understand. I'm not sure that I even believe you, because I'm pretty sure I know when I sin. Well, I'm going to use a story, a real life story, to show you how tricky the devil is and to show you how self-deception and self-justification can get into your life and you not even realize it. So I'm going to tell you a story about me, my wife, and my oldest son now, who's at college, but when he was a newborn and not sleeping through the night. Okay? So many of y'all have children, so you can relate. Drew was our first, so we were going to be super parents, right? That's what everybody has this goal of, you know? When you're first expecting a child, you're just, you know, dear Lord, please let it have 10 fingers, 10 toes, I'll be fine. But then once it gets here, it's like you go into hyperdrive of, hey, I'm going to make this kid into the greatest thing ever, right? So we were going to be super parents. Well, that didn't last long because Drew didn't understand that he was supposed to sleep through the night. And he didn't have one of those cute little baby cries. Okay, he had one of those blood-curdling cries. And so one night, we were asleep. It was probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, we had moved and were sleeping upstairs because that's where Drew was sleeping upstairs. And so he wasn't in our bedroom, but he was in his bedroom, but we were there close. You know, we had the baby monitors, all the things that we should do as parents. Well, at 2 o'clock one, one night, Drew decided that it was time for him to be awake, and so he starts crying and screaming at the top of his lungs. And when he did that, I woke up. And at that point, as soon as I woke up, I had this sense of, I need to go check on Drew. I need to go check on my son. That sense was there. And I had a choice. I could obey that sense, or I could disobey that sense. So I could get up right then and go check on my son, or I couldn't. So let's just hypothetically talk about what might have happened, okay? I may have chosen to disobey that sense, okay? And so as I was laying there, my son screaming, guess what was going through my mind? I know Lee's got to hear him. Why is she not getting up? Okay, so I had a choice to make. I knew what to do good, which was to get up and to go check on my son. But hypothetically, okay, let's say I disobeyed that choice. Well, here's what happened in the next 12 hours, or a few minutes actually, and then led into the next morning, okay? I started to see my life a little differently. Okay, so as my son was screaming at the top of his lungs, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden I started seeing my wife as a terrible mother. Why was she not getting up to check on her son? I mean, that's her motherly duty, is to check up on her son. Then I started seeing her as a terrible wife. I mean, I'm thinking, I've got to get up and go to work in the morning. What has she got to do? Take care of the kid? Why is she not getting up? This is terrible. She's just selfish. That's what I started to think. And as I was laying there and seeing my wife that way, I started to then see myself this way. You know, does she not realize how good of a dad that I really am to this son? You know, as soon as I get home from work, the first thing I do is hold him and you know, play with him, and I've got all these great plans for him. I mean, I'm a great dad. Not only that, I'm an even better husband because I am getting up early the next morning to go to work to provide for my family like a man's supposed to do. You know, I just felt unappreciated laying there in bed while Drew was screaming. I was unappreciated. So if I was seeing my wife this way and I was seeing myself this way, how do you think I started acting towards my wife? Well, I can tell you that hypothetically, if I had chosen to go this path, I probably would have started to maybe elbow her a little bit, make sure she was awake, maybe make a little bit of noise to say, I mean, can you not hear him? Or even complain a little bit about, are you not going to get up and check on him? And so if I started acting that way towards her, how do you think she started to see me? She didn't see me the same way I saw me. She saw me as a jerk. She saw me as selfish. She saw me as ungrateful. You know, she saw me as not appreciating what she did all through the day. And so she then started to view herself as this tireless mom, as somebody that was hard, as the mom that's hardworking, unappreciated. It's like, I'm sure she was thinking in her mind, he has no idea how many poopy diapers I change a day. He can at least get up this once and take his turn. And so if she was seeing herself and me that way, how do you think she started acting towards me? Well, she started giving me the silent treatment. Okay? She started to, I mean, she's short in stature, but she started to get short with me. Okay? And so, all of a sudden, I don't have a clue what just happened, but we were not in a good place. So what just happened? Because I'll let you in on a little secret. My wife is none of those things. She's one of the sweetest people you ever meet. She's very, very appreciative of what I do for her. She is very unselfish. She's one of the greatest women you'll ever meet. So that's not her. But in just a matter of minutes, that's the way I was viewing her. So what happened? So let's go back to our diagram. I had a sense that I should get up and I should take care of Drew. I had a choice. James talks about that we have a choice to do what we know is right, to do good. And if we choose wrong, if we choose not to do it, that is sin. Well, I chose to disobey it. And all of a sudden, I was deceived. I was not seeing myself the way that I truly was. I wasn't even seeing my wife, who I love more than anybody else on the face of this earth, the way she truly is. So don't tell me that self-deception and self-justification is not a powerful tool of the devil. Because it is. Because it made me view a woman that I've been married to now for 20 plus years as somebody that was awful, that she wasn't. Okay? And it made her view me in a way that I'm not either. Okay? Most of the time. So it is a powerful tool of the devil. James 1:22. Turn with me there. The Bible warns us about self-deception. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Now here's the bad news about that. Okay? You guys are hearing this message tonight. So now you got to do it. Okay? You've got to put this into action. So self-deception and deceiving ourselves is a real thing that the Bible talks about, that the devil uses as a trick. Well, let me ask you a question. What if I told you that I did get up and go check on Drew? Because that's truly what happened. But yet, we still wound up in our circle of me seeing Lee as awful, her seeing me as awful. The next morning was not pretty at the Caldwell house before I was leaving for work. What if I told you that when I obeyed it, it didn't lead to peace? Would you be shocked? Now, I will tell you that peace is a good thing. The Bible even talks about us trying to keep peace. In Romans 12:18, it says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Now, here's a bonus for all you newlyweds. All you newlywed husbands, you really want to live at peace with your wife. Okay, that verse is really specifically talking about keeping peace at home too. But no, we're to live peaceably towards all men. So I was really confused because I got up and I went to check on Drew, got him a bottle, but yet I still wound up in this cycle that we saw on that chart. Why is that? Well, what if I told you when I got out of bed, I didn't exactly slip out of bed really, really quiet, trying not to bother my wife? In fact, I think I probably threw the covers off of me and hoped that they went off of her too when I got out of bed. I didn't kind of feel my way down the hallway in the dark. I flipped on the lights. You know, when I got, you know, to Drew and got him calmed down, coming back to bed, I was not trying to get in bed to not wake up my wife. In fact, I may have muttered some things when I got back in bed. Okay? And so the next morning, she was mad at me. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I got up to check on Drew, but yet she was mad at me. So Can the right actions be done wrong? Can we do the right actions with the wrong heart? Or for the wrong reasons? Or for the wrong motive? Well, let me tell you about my apology. Okay? So that next morning, breakfast was not good. I've already put up there, you know, Lee was giving me the cold shoulder. She wasn't, you know, giving me the silent treatment. And when she gives me the silent treatment, I like to ask her specific questions to make her have to talk. And so I was asking her these specific questions, and she was giving me yes, no answers, you know, and it was just, it was not good. And so I thought, well, I'm going to be the bigger person. You know, I don't want to go to work, us mad at each other. So I'm going to apologize. And so I went over and was going to give her a kiss goodbye, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, and gave her one of those nanosecond kisses where your lips barely even touch, if they do at all. And so I gave her my apology and gave her my kiss and started to walk out the door. And you know what she did? Under her breath, she says, I bet you are. So now, I walked out to the car going, you know, she's wrong. I apologized. I was the bigger man. I did what was right. I was the one trying to keep peace. You know, that's what the Bible talks about. We looked at it in Romans. I was trying to live peacefully, you know, at home. And yet she's unwilling. Now, was I right? Was she unwilling? Was I really sorry? Had I really made the choice to do good? So there's definitely two ways of doing things, right? A right way and a wrong way. A right mindset, right heart, a wrong heart. You know, the Bible gives us some examples of, you know, the Lord telling us that there's more than one way to do something, and one way is not right. You know, you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Is that right? Did I tell that? Yeah, 6 verse 5, I'm sorry. Matthew 6, verse 5. This is Jesus getting ready to teach us how to pray. And He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So, there's more than just choosing to do the right action. You know, the Lord says we can pray and not pray the right way. We can choose to do good, but do it the wrong way. And I'm convinced that it's because the devil uses the trick of self-deception and self-justification for us to not even realize that we're doing wrong. Because that's exactly when I got in my car and said, you know, Lee, you're just wrong. I mean, I apologized. What was I doing? All I was doing was justifying myself and deceiving myself as to what I'd really done. Now, luckily, I came to my senses before I got back home, okay? And called her and gave her a real apology. And we had a talk, and that's why we can, you know, I can put this stuff up here, because I know how she was feeling. She knows how I was feeling. And we now kind of help each other look for the signs of, hey, your reality is skewed. You know, you need to step back and look anew and look fresh. First John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, every time that I've heard this verse, I've kind of given it the old, yeah, everybody sins. I realize that. Everybody sins. Nobody really says, I've got no sin. But it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I think there are sins in our life that we deceive ourselves into thinking we don't have sin. When you go back and you look at James chapter 4, verse 17, the scariest verse in the Bible for me, and we have a choice to him who knows to do good, and we choose not to, and we don't do it, to him it is sin. Now you may say, I can't think of any time in my life, or I can't think of any time recently that I chose not to do good. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have some friends who aren't Christians? You know, I do a thing with the youth sometimes, and I've done it a couple of times in Devos and stuff, and I ask them to write down the 10 most important people in their life outside of their immediate family. The 10 most important people in their life. And so they'll list out the 10 most important people. And then I ask them, I say, okay, I want you to write down a yes or no as to whether or not that person is a Christian. Now, without fail, there's no way that all 10 are, yes, they are a Christian. Without fail. There's some I don't knows whether they're a Christian or not. And that is almost as bad as a no. Maybe worse. That means you've not taken the time to ask. And so, if we have a friend or a co-worker or somebody who's not a Christian, you have a choice to do what's good. You have a choice to do what's right. Have you talked to that person about the Lord? And if you haven't, let me give you maybe an idea of how you're deceiving yourself and justifying yourself, because I'm guilty. Okay? I've got friends who aren't Christians. You want to know what? I don't talk to them because they're hard-headed. They're hard-headed. They're not going to listen to me. All that's going to do is make them mad. We're going to get in an argument. You know, it's just not going to be pretty, so it's not worth it. And if I make them mad, then, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to have a chance to share the gospel with them. Do you see what I did there? What did I do? I just justified why I wasn't sharing Christ with my friend. And whose fault was it? Not mine. So what has the devil done in that instance? He's deceived me. And I've chosen to not do what I know is good. And so therefore, that's a sin in my life. But I feel self-justified in doing it because I feel like the person is going to be non-receptive to it. You ever had anybody ask you about teaching Sunday school class in church? You ever had a deacon come up to you and say, hey, we need some teachers for Vacation Bible School? And it may not be teachers. Maybe it's, hey, we need bus drivers. Hey, we need somebody to help with communion. We need somebody to help with cleaning the pews. Whatever it is. Have you ever had somebody ask you to do something to help in the Lord's church? And so you knew you had a choice to do what's good or what's not good. And so if you chose no, why did you choose no? Well, let me show you how this works, because I've been down this one too. Somebody comes to me and asks me, hey, Mark, I need you to teach class. You know, man, I'm just so busy right now. You know, my kids are at that age. Can't you ask somebody whose kids are grown and out of the house? You know, why are they not helping? I've taught classes before. I teach classes an awful lot. You know, I think maybe somebody needs to preach a sermon on, you know, 20% doing 80% of the work instead of 80% people getting involved. You know, I think I'm going to pass this time. You need to ask somebody else. Somebody else needs to get involved. I've been involved. What did I just do? I chose no, and I justified it. Was it my fault? No, it wasn't my fault. In fact, I pumped myself up in my mind because I taught class before, and I can name a lot of you guys that hadn't. And so all of a sudden, it wasn't my fault for saying no. It's your fault. You guys that hadn't taught class. Well, the devil let me sin there because I knew what the good thing to do was, but I chose not to. But I went on my way feeling not guilty at all because I had justified myself. I deceived myself. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Let's look at some other ones. Maybe this one will hit a little closer to home. You ever gone to a restaurant and the poor little waitress gets your order wrong? Or maybe she's a little slow? How do you act? Do you act like a Christian? Could she tell that you're a Christian? Well, let me tell you, this one's happened to me too. Okay, and here's how it goes down. This is how I can justify myself in this situation. You know, I'm paying good money for this meal. I mean, does she not want a tip? I mean, I'm going to tip her good if she'll just do her job. It's her job to do this. I mean, how hard is it to get this right? You know, and then I know what's good in this situation is to act like a Christian, is to have some empathy and some compassion for a person, but yet I don't. But yet I go on through my day not feeling guilty at all because I feel justified in the way that I'm feeling. That's scary. It ought to scare you folks that we can do that so easily, that we can know that we're supposed to choose good and we know what good is, yet we don't. And then the devil makes it to where we don't even feel guilty about it. And the Bible says it's a sin. Last one. Maybe you're here tonight and you hadn't become a member of the Lord's church. Why not? Why not? Are you letting the devil deceive you? Do you know inside that I need to do this? That's the good thing to do. But yet you're making excuses. Maybe you're saying, you know, I come to all the church services. You know, that should be enough. You know, I wish these people would get off my back. You know, they're just so demanding. They're just on me all the time. I mean, I live a good life. I do good things. I don't treat people bad. And all of a sudden, you may feel justified in the fact that you're not a member of the Lord's church. That's a scary thing. That's how self-deception works. That's how self-justification works. Sometimes we look in a mirror like this cat and we see a lion, and that's not the case. And maybe there's some of you here tonight that, as I've talked about this, you've thought about things in your life that you're letting the devil deceive you. You've passed up an opportunity to do good, and you've felt justified because you've let the devil deceive you. Now, sometimes it's really hard. You know, some people don't make it easy for us to do good. They make it difficult. But I go back to our verse in Romans where it says, as much as it depends on us, we're to live peaceably with all men. So that's not an excuse. Somebody else being cantankerous is not an excuse for us not to do good. Because the Bible says we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. So tonight, I ask that you be more than just hearers of the Word. I ask that you be doers also. I ask that you look at your own life and find examples of where the devil has deceived you. Because it's the scariest trick, I think, that he has in his bag of tricks. And it takes an honest step back and look at it. to see. So tonight, if there's anything that you need the church to pray with you about or pray for you about, or maybe you are one that we talked about that is, you know, put off becoming a member of the Lord's church because the devil's got you deceived. If there's anything that we can help you with tonight, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.